I have with me David Icke. And David, to some, a madman. To others, an unrivaled truth seeker. He's known for his conspiracy theories and has been one in the world for nearly 30 years of a common global state in which a tiny few would enslave humanity through control of finance. That's amazing. Finance, government, and media. David, thank you for coming on.
Real pleasure. Thank you.
I really appreciate you being here. What is a conspiracy theorist exactly?
Well, you should ask the CIA, because the term conspiracy theory and conspiracy theorist came into widespread use when the CIA contacted major media organizations in the United States in the 1960s to urge them to use the terms conspiracy theory and conspiracy theorist to discredit those that were questioning the official story of the Kennedy assassination and, of course, other blatant assassinations that have far more to know about, including Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Bobby Kennedy. And all these years later, the mainstream media are still using the term conspiracy theorist and conspiracy theory to discredit anything that challenges the official narrative. And the question they don't ask, and so many other people don't ask because they get their opinions from the media, is, okay, this guy's saying this. Is it true? What's the evidence? What's the background? Is it true? Once people have this almost this switch that's flicked, oh, it's conspiracy theory, so you don't go any further. And the vast majority of what I present in my books, which is why some of them are so big, is because it's not theory. It's supportable by the fact. And what we're looking at is just a way of discrediting someone you don't want people to listen to. All I was a journalist in the mainstream for quite a while in newspapers and television and radio in Britain. And from around, 1989, 1990, I went on this journey of being a journalist that doesn't have an editor, in the sense that no one's looking over my shoulder saying, you can't say that, you can't write that. What I do is I let the information be my guide. I just follow the information. And the information's taken me into areas of uncovering what's happening in the world that have been, frankly, proved to be correct, often in considerable detail, in the years that have passed. Because what I'm uncovering is something that is planned. It's a plan to create a global Orwellian state in which a very few people are dictating to the lives of everyone else. And what we've seen in this period I've been writing about this over the last 30 years is precisely that. What we call globalization is just the centralization of global power in every area of our lives. The European Union here in Europe is simply an expression of that, the centralization of power in over the fine detail of people's lives throughout Europe, the membership of the EU. We're seeing centralization of power on the most extraordinary level now in the mainstream media, which is and Silicon Valley, which is allowing this same few to dictate overwhelmingly the perceptions of the population by controlling the information that people receive, that from which they form those perceptions. This is why you're seeing internet censorship going into levels of absolute hysteria. It's not happening by accident. It's happening by design. So that's what I am. I'm a journalist who writes what the information leads me to conclude, rather than having someone with an agenda saying, you can write this, but no more.
So, and the reason for, if I'm understanding you correctly, the reason for is there are people at the top who literally want to control people at the bottom around the world. They want a one world, what they call a one world order, where they control everybody around the world.
Well, I've been talking for years and writing for years about something I call the Hunger Games Society, which has this structure. If people can imagine a pyramid, at the top of the pyramid, you've got a tiny few people which control the wealth, which control the information, and so on. And in recent times, this group has become known as the 1%. At the bottom in this pyramid, this is the pyramid they want to introduce, and day by day are in the process of moving there, is basically the rest of humanity. You know, people who say, I've got a decent job, I earn decent money, I have a nice house, I have a nice car, I go on vacations and what have you. So what this Ike guy's talking about doesn't apply to me. Well, I'm afraid it does, because if you're not part of this 1%, they want what you've got as well. And as we've seen in America, more and more people who weren't touched by economic deprivation are starting to be touched by it. This is this pyramid moving up, if you like. And the center of this pyramid, between the tiny few 1% and the rest of humanity, as I've been writing for so long, not with with hindsight, is designed to be a merciless, vicious police military state, because that's what it's designed to be in the end, a police military state, not just a police state, which is there to impose the will of the 1% upon everyone else and to stop the population challenging the 1%. And what we're seeing, of course, more and more, obviously, is the emergence of this police military state with the police. Even in Britain, when I was a kid in the 1950s, police officers used to walk down the street. They had what they called their beat in their little community area. And the most vicious thing they carried was a truncheon, nothing else. Now, more and more, the British police are looking like the military. Why? Because that's the evolution that's going on to a police military state. And in America, of course, you are way ahead in that regard. So this is the structure they want. But the way they do it is by, although it's becoming more obvious now because it's becoming faster, and more of it's breaking the surface, so more and more people can see it. I suppose when I was saying this is coming, it's now increasingly here. They do it through a technique that I call the totalitarian tiptoe. You know you're going to Z, and you're at A at the moment, but you're going to Z. And you know if you go to Z in too big a leap to your goal, the change in society is going to be so blatantly obvious, people are going to lift their eyes from the game show and the sport and say, what the heck's happening? Now, they are beginning to do that now more and more because we're beginning, like I say, to see it more clearly all the time. But what they're trying to do is go in steps that are not big enough to make the change so dramatic, so that people say, what's going on? But they actually perceive events in the world and what governments do and what militaries do and what law enforcement does as random, what Silicon Valley does as random. What I do in the books and in a movie that's just out today or yesterday called Renegade is that I put the dots together and show that actually it's not random. All the major society transforming, society directing events are actually coldly calculated and have been planned for a period that most people who haven't delved into this would be staggered about.
Amazing. I'm noticing.
When you break it down, Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World in the 1930s, was describing today's society increasingly. George Orwell, who wrote 1984 in the 1940s, was describing today's society in detail. people that I've quoted in my books, including a big Rockefeller insider called Dr. Richard Day, who addressed pediatricians in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1969. And he told them, for no one knows why, but I'm glad he did, he told them what was coming because what he represented was going to make it happen. And it's extraordinary. 1969, this guy was describing the internet that was coming.
Yeah.
That's what invented since 1980. So there is an agenda, and when you uncover it, you can start to predict the future because what you're predicting is the agenda unfolding.
So let me ask this, David, and then I want to get into your new movie, The Renegade, right? I've noticed in this country, in America, they are, the police are becoming more and more militarized, right? But what I notice is that they are letting illegals just overflow our country now. Right now, it's from five different countries. They are letting illegal aliens out of prisons and jails in our country. They're letting prisons out, period. They and even in some states here, they call sanctuary states, so you can't even get them and send them away or put them back in jail. I noticed that they have been promoting out of wedlock sex, living together before marriage, pot. They want everybody high and on drugs and out of their minds. We have more homeless people here in L.A. than I've ever seen since 1968. And so my question is our government, your government, and whomever else government, are they all working together in order to eventually become one government of the world?
Well, I'll come to that question in a second, but I just want to make this point. In my books over the years, what is happening in mass migration into Europe and mass migration into America from the South is all predicted. This guy, Dr. Richard Day, I'm just giving one example, told those pediatricians in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1969 that what was going to happen is they were going to instigate mass migrations of people from one culture into other cultures because it's very much easier to break down countries, basically to accept world government absorption, if you can break down their sense of culture,
yeah,
their sense of national identity. Now, this is not an attack on people coming into America from the South, because they want this one world tyranny wants, in the end, no culture that we know now. It wants to fuse them all. At the moment, we're seeing European and Americans being targeted, America being targeted in this way, but they want all cultures absorbed. So there is no unique identity, just one bland blob humanity, for reasons that I talk about in the books. In terms of government, now this is interesting because people say it's the government. Okay, so what's the government? The government is made up of very large numbers of people who think they're doing the right thing. Most of them, significant numbers, know they're not, but that's another level of it. But most of them think they're doing the right thing. They go into work. They do what they're told to do. They earn the money for their family, which is basically the reason that they work. And that's the government. What we need to look at, as I've been writing now for 30 years on this, is the difference between what we call the government and that which controls and directs governments. And it's interesting to me, anyway, that in recent years, particularly since Trump came to power, this whole this phrase about the deep state has become kind of almost common parlance. But I was talking about that decades ago. It's the deep state is part of what I've been calling the permanent government. It's the permanent government that we're looking at. Whether it's Trump or whether it's Obama or whether it's Bush or whether it's Clinton, these are here today, gone tomorrow people. In America, what, you have a two-term limit, so they're going to be here for two terms and then gone, and someone else is going to come in. But when you take a breath and you step back, you see the basically same direction of the world happening. Whoever's in power, whether they call themselves Republican or Democrat, Labour or Conservative in Britain, the same direction goes on. And there's a permanent government that's driving that. So if I look at the parties in America, for instance, during the Bush administration and still today, you had this concept, even accepted by the mainstream media, of the neocons or neoconservatives that have been driving this agenda for Middle East war. These are the William Crystals and the Robert Kagans and such like. And they have been, to a very large extent, dictating the agenda of the Republican Party. In the Democrats, you have a similar group, which I call the Democons. This includes people like George Soros and so on, who basically, through funding, not least, but other means too, control the Democratic Party. It's the Soros funding and the Soros influence, and he's just a goat.
Let me do this, David. Let me do this because of time. Let me do this because of time. David, I'm black and I'm slow, so I need to break it down a little bit better. So I need yes or no. We run out of time here, too. So President Trump is the head of our country right now. He's the president. And in your country, you have the president over there, right?
Prime Minister, yes.
Yeah. Are they aware? So are you saying that there's someone above them that want to control the whole world? And is President Trump aware that there are others over him who is now controlling him to cause him to help them control the world?
Well, would Trump know that actually there are other forces at work that are imposing themselves on him? Absolutely. He's kind of talked about it recently. You know, people that want to drain the swamp do not appoint John Bolton as their national security advisor. So did Trump appoint him, or did it come from his major funders like Sheldon Adelson, that pressure to put John Bolton in, who's never seen a country he didn't want to bomb? But if I could finish that point, I'll complete what I was going to say. This is what people need to understand. You've got the neocons that basically control the Republican Party. You've got these Democons, not least those people around Soros, that control the Democratic Party, that have transformed the Democratic Party into this progressive mob. But you go one step back into the shadows, and the neocons and the Democons answer to the same masters in the shadows. Therefore, whoever's in power, if they're not knowingly puppets of this force, then through pressure and circumstance, they are massively limited by this force, depending on who you're talking about. And very quickly, this is how the world's controlled, the structure. Think of a spider in the center of the web. That is the real inner core, right in the shadows. You don't see them in the public arena, source of all this. Around the spider, the strands in the web around the spider, immediately around the spider, are the most secretive, exclusive secret societies. Many don't have names because that makes them harder to track. You then come out, still in the hidden, to the secret societies we do know about but don't know what they do at their core level, and I emphasize their core level. These are the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templar, Opus Dei, the inner core of the Jesuit order, such like, and many, many more. And then you reach a point in the web as you come out from the spider, which I call the cusp. And this is where the hidden meets the seen. And at this point, you've got organizations like the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, or Chatham House in London, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome, through which much of this hoax about human-caused global warming has been hatched. And that hoax is simply there to create an excuse to transform global society. And I wrote years ago how they would justify, or what they would claim was necessary to meet the challenge of human-caused global warming, as they claim. And what's now being suggested in the Democrats' Green New Deal and by organizations in Europe is precisely what I said they would say needed to happen. And it's centralization of power and control. So finally, when you get out beyond the cusp organizations, you're into mainstream society. You're into what we call governments, government agencies, banking systems, corporations, Silicon Valley, media ownership. And at that point, that's where the public see decisions being made. And they appear to be random. But actually, the society-changing ones have all started out life with the spider in the center of the web, deep in the shadows. This is what's happening.
So I got to ask this because of time, Joe, David. So President Trump, when they hired John Bolton, he was referred by other people who want this, as you said, one world order. Is President Trump aware that the reason John Bolton is there is to usher in or to assist in bringing in the world order thing? Is President Trump aware of that?
Well, if he's not, he's incredibly uninformed.
I know, but give me a yes or no. Is he, as president, he has all the information coming in, would he be aware of that?
Mate, I answer questions from what I feel. I don't answer questions on yes, no, when it's not a yes, no.
But how would people like me believe a conspiracy theorist if you can't answer yes or no questions, so it can be clear for me? So I want to know, would the president be aware of this?
Hold on. First of all, I don't care if you believe what I'm saying. That's not the point. I'm putting it out there, and people.
Why is it that conspiracy theorists don't care that you don't understand what they're talking about?
I am putting information out there, and people make of it what they will. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. But if I said, having never met Donald Trump, yes, I know that he knows, then I'd be lying to you, and I actually would rather not do that. What I'm saying is, if he doesn't know, he must be incredibly uninformed, because in this movie Renegade, which is now available on the internet if people want to go to it, an hour and 40 minutes, I explain how all this works. I explain Bolton's background. I explain the Middle East war background. And if I know it and can explain it, this is why they're now targeting Iran. That was in my books years ago. They were going to target Iran in the way they have. So if Trump doesn't know that when I do, then he's incredibly uninformed. You go and look at the background to the Project for the New American Century, which was this neocon group's organization. They, in September 2000, etc. And those countries have been picked off ever since, no matter whether it's Bush in power or the Democrats in Obama in power, or whether now with Trump in power. So there is a permanent government that overrides here today, gone tomorrow politicians. And if they don't know that, then they're either incredibly uninformed or they know more than they're telling us.
David, I have two quick questions. I'm out of time here. I've read that you've been doing this for the last 30 years or so. In short, what was happening 30 years ago that caught your attention, that caused you to want to get this information out? What was happening then?
Well, I was a journalist. I worked for the BBC, et cetera. And I began to question whether the forces that we're told are controlling world events were actually controlling them. And when you then start digging away and you step off the postage stamp perceptions that we're asked to believe in all the time, you step out of the box, you step out of the mainstream media bubble, and you say, well, hold on, let's have a look if there's evidence that other forces are dictating events. And you find the evidence is enormous, but you're not going to find it in the mainstream media, not going to find it in the mainstream anything. You're going to find it by looking for it. And because of the emergence of the internet, a lot of this information was able to be circulated. A lot more research was possible in a very short time because of it. And this is why you've got the now war on the alternative media and anyone who's challenging the official narrative through Silicon Valley with its censorship, whether it's Facebook, Google, Amazon, Twitter, all of them, Apple. It's because they're trying to put the genie back in the bottle. Because I can tell you now, when I started out 30 years ago, you couldn't fill a phone box with people interested in this information. Now, it's absolutely fantastic, the number of people that are saying, hold on, this is starting to make sense of the world, that what I've been told up to this point didn't make sense. And that's why Renegade, it's been out for 2 days. It's already number one in the documentary chart in the United Kingdom. It's in the top 30 of all movies in the United Kingdom. It's up in the top 15 in America, top three in Australia, top in many other countries like Norway. This is testament to the interest and the way that people are opening their minds to the fact that the world's not like they thought it was.
Your new movie was...
Very simple way.
David, I read that your new movie was boycotted in London during its premiere. Is that true? Did they boycott your movie there?
No, two things. What they're trying to do with me is silence me. It's difficult now, more difficult anyway, to speak in public, even though thousands and thousands of people at a time want to hear me. I went to we had some premieres of the movie where it went down fantastically well. And the best example I can give you is in your city, Los Angeles. The makers of the movie, Renegade, which were not people that support what I'm doing. They just thought my life story, which is kind of interesting, would make a good movie. So they booked the Aero Theater in Santa Monica, which is owned by a company called American Cinematique, which also owns the Egyptian, I understand. We were going to show the movie in a premiere. You know, hundreds of people were coming, and it was going to be about 6:30 that they were going to arrive. And the producer agreed that we would arrive at the Aero Theater at 4 o'clock for a technical run through. 5 minutes before we arrived, we're in the car about two blocks away. His phone rings in the back of the vehicle, and they've cancelled it. And this was an interesting and extremely sinister conversation that took place. And I heard it because the guy at the other end was shouting down the phone hysterically. So even though the producer's at the back with his phone at his ear, I was in the front. I heard every word. He said, is this a film about David Icke? Yes. Does it put him in a good light? Well, yeah, it comes across well. Yeah, we're not having it. So... there's obviously efforts to silence me. And in London, a trade union organization whose building we were going to use for the premiere, they also canceled at the last minute. We got another venue, thankfully. But this is what you're dealing with all the time, because people get their perceptions from information received. They want to control the information. That's why they control the mainstream media, so that they can form the perceptions of the population. What people like me are doing is saying, hey, there's another way of looking at this. What do you think? And it's backed by fantastic amounts of detailed, supportable, sourced information as well.
So the movie, folks, is Renegade and the life story of David Icke. David, give me short answers. I can't go any longer than that. You have said, according to this, you have said that reality is an illusion. In short, what do you mean by that?
Reality is an illusion. What I say is physical reality is an illusion. The idea that we live in a physical, solid world where everything is apart from everything else. And, of course, I'm supported in that massively and more all the time by quantum physics, which has established that. And in Renegade, I do explain what I mean by that. It's a multi-subject film in which the dots are all connected, and that's one of them. And to understand the reality we're experiencing is not the reality as it really is to understand so many things about the world that would seem impossible otherwise, not least what we call the paranormal. It's actually perfectly normal, but it's not possible to be real if the world is what it appears to be in our experience, solid and the way we experience it, but it's not. And thus paranormal becomes possible because of that.
I don't clearly understand the conspiracy theory thing yet, but I truly...
It's governments lie to us. That's basically what it means.
I absolutely agree with you that reality is an illusion, that it's not real. It is weird that I can see that it's really an illusion. It's not even real. But because most people cannot see that this is an illusion and not real, you have wars, you have people hating one another, you have killing and stealing and robbing and everything, people trying to control because they don't know that this is just an illusion. They think it's real.
We're all one consciousness, having different experiences. That's why racism and everything that goes with it, and all the labels we give ourselves and the labels that fight against labels, it's all a nonsense.
It sure is.
And that can be ended once people realize, actually, the labels are just experiences. What we are is awareness having the experiences, and ultimately, the same experience having different experiences.
I totally agree, David. I have been saying that there's no... Since realizing that this stuff is just an illusion and that we are controlled by words, I've said that there's no such thing as racism, sexism, homophobiaism, Islamphobiaism, deadbeat-dad-ism, or anti-Semitism. It's all these isms are just words made up to blind you so you can fight over the wrong thing that's not even real and it's not even important. It's not real.
And they're also used to silence people and stop having legitimate opinions. And every opinion is legitimate in the sense that everyone has the right to express it. We have the right to agree with it or not agree with it. That's called freedom.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I want the people to check out your movie, Renegade, The Life Story of David Icke. I'm going to have to check it out now that I've spoken to you. I had not been aware. I was not aware of it until my producer gave me this report this morning. Okay. And so I'm going to have to look into it more. Maybe I'll have you back.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
And how can people go to your site or whatever else you want to put out?
Well, they just need to go to davidicke.com and watch Renegade and all the daily news items from a different angle are all there, and a library of information and videos that I've done are all available. And I've got a book, the last one I wrote, called Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told. And I've just finished another one, which is going to be seriously controversial. It's coming out in September, and it's about 9/11, although far more than 9/11, but it's 9/11 in a completely different context.
Amazing.
And it demolishes the official story of 9/11, which, frankly, if you delve into it, 15, 16, 10-year-old could do.
And it's David Icke, I-C-K-E, folks, not I-K-E. And I know black people spell it I-K-E, but in this case, it's I-C-K-E. David, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I enjoyed that.
Been a real pleasure. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Right now. Good meeting you. Very, very Mamma Mia. Hola, si, senor. Interesting.